Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you today for your word. We come before it. We humble ourselves before you and before this holy word. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we open our hearts. We open our minds to receive revelation from heaven. And we thank you for it, and we give you praise and honor for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to the third chapter of John's Gospel. And let's begin reading in the 16th verse, John 3:16. Extremely, very precious, very familiar. I started to say extremely familiar and very precious verse of Scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now, let's look in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. And let's begin reading with the 9th verse. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Underline the word given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone. Say that out loud. Everyone. Now say this. Everyone means me. Everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds. To him that knocks, it shall be open. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? God gives someone a snake? No way. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him or give him a scorpion? No, no, no. God forbid. There's no way. And Jesus referred to the old serpent, the devil, and he referred to scorpions as devils. Amen. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to him that ask him? Now, think about this a minute. Let me ask you this question. Is he talking about a gift here? Of course. That's what he said. Everyone that asks receiveth, he that seeketh finds, to him that knocks shall be open. Now notice. If a son shall ask bread of you, Father, will he give him a stone? No. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give? Now, let's put a couple of those verses together there, if you'll allow me to do this. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the good gift of the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Ask, and you shall receive. What did He say? Everyone that asks, receive. He that seeks, finds. To him that knocks, it shall be opened. What did he say in the 9th verse? Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. Let's go back over there now to John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Now, you and I were part of that world. Amen? Before we knew Jesus, of course we were. For God so loved the world that He gave. What does love do? Love's first act is to give. And true love, God is love. You know, understand this. God doesn't have love. He is love. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God giving love. All the same word. Isn't that good? Let's read it again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever. Hallelujah. You and I were part of that world. God gave Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, or whosoever would receive the gift. Hallelujah. Receive the gift. Jesus, the heavenly gift, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, go with me over to the book of Romans, and let's look at the 5th chapter of Romans. Amen. The 17th verse. For if by one man's offense death reigned, that was Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. One translation says, shall reign in life as kings. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus, the heavenly gift. The Holy Spirit, the heavenly gift. Righteousness, right standing, complete righteousness. Now, let's look at this now in 2 Corinthians. And in the 5th chapter. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, and not holding against them their trespasses, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, you be reconciled to God. Now, what does that mean? God has already given you Jesus. God has already given you the Holy Spirit. God has already given you the gift of righteousness. All there is left is receiving. Here it is again. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Or we pray you in Christ's stead, receive the gift He's given you. King James says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us and knew no sin. Let's unravel that just a little bit. For He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Glory to God. A new creation, a new righteous with God creation. Hallelujah. Your spirit man, your spirit being the real you, the moment you received the gift, the moment you said, Jesus, come into my heart. You as a whosoever. I was a whosoever. Boy, I'm a whosoever you talk about somebody. One of my favorite of all scriptures, it said Christ died for the ungodly. Yeah, and I qualified and so did you. Amen. But you notice there's not any limit on that. just said ungodly. What does that mean? Anybody without God. I mean, you know, I baptized a serial killer in the county jail in San Antonio, Texas, who had been born again, a young woman that he had kidnapped, and she just, Margie just refused to let him. She just said, no, you ain't going to kill me. You ain't going to kill the only person that ever loved you. he just got so mad at her. So he said, if you don't shut up, I am going to kill you. She said, can I listen to my tape? He said, I don't care what you do as long as you keep your mouth shut. And she had one of my tapes in the cassette deck in her car. She put that in. He's listening to that. He heard the audible voice of God say to him, Stephen, this is your last chance, son. He said, who said that? Stopped the car and tried to find who's in the car with him. Well, of course, Margie led him to the Lord, and then all kinds of great things happened after that and so forth and so on. But I wanted you to see, serial killer, no serial killer. There wasn't any limit to whosoever. There wasn't any limit to God died for the ungodly. I mean, ungodly is ungodly. What that just simply means, not connected to God, separated from God. That's spiritual death. You and I, both you and I, were both spiritually dead in our sins until we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. And Jesus wiped out his horrible sins the way he wiped out our sins. Amen. Why? He's a gift. Amen. Righteousness is a gift. Glory to God, the Holy Spirit is a gift. Now, I got into that in order to help you realize this. Healing, deliverance from fear, all kinds of horrible, hard, mean sicknesses, diseases, pains, all sickness, all disease, all human suffering, all poverty is the result of the horrible, terrible, satanic hatred for the human race. I'm going to say it again. All sin, all sickness, all poverty, all suffering, all of it, none of it is at the hand of God. All of it is because of the satanic, terrible hatred for the human race. But all redemption is the result of the great love of God for all people. He never intended for anybody to be sick, lonely, hurting. He never intended for anybody to be broke and poor. He intended for everyone to be blessed, fully provided, beyond your imagination provided. Amen. That's his will, and he never changes his will. Glory to God. He's still the same today. He was the same yesterday, today, and will continue to be forever. And his name is Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. Now then, I particularly how can I say this, Lord? The thing that needs most to be emphasized, and I want to emphasize it on this broadcast today, that healing is a gift. It's all part of the glory package. It's all part of Jesus. Amen. And we want to look at scriptures of that because, you see, faith begins where the will of God is known and where the will of God is believed. I'm reminded of a scripture right now. In fact, let's turn over there. I want you to look at this in 1 John. We've talked about this on this broadcast a lot, and we will continue to talk about it a lot more. In 1 John, you know, 1 John, the Apostle John himself, called the Apostle of Love, had an outstanding revelation and insight into the love of God, even before Jesus went to the cross. And in 1 John, in the fourth chapter, he begins to talk about and reveals the fact that God is love. And let's just, if you don't mind here, let's just read considerable verses of Scripture here. Verse 8, "He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God." In what? This revelation that God is love, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Amen. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." This great and marvelous gift. I've had people say this to me. I heard people say it to Brother Hagin, or heard him tell of it. And people said it to Brother Roberts. Oh, people got so upset about it. I had people gripe about it to me. Come to me and said, you know, Brother Roberts, man, I mean, over and over, he would say, "Something good is going to happen to you. Something good is happening to you today. God is a good God." And he would say, "Satan is a bad devil and God is a good God." Now, I had one preacher come to me and say, "I wish he wouldn't say that." And I said, "What?" "Oh, you know, he says something good's going to happen to you." And he said, I said, "Why?" He said, "Because it may not be anything good going to happen to you, and that God is a good God." And I said, "Well, really, is God good?" "Well, yes." "Then it's wrong to say that He's good?" "Well, now, you know, Brother Copeland and I start into all this whining about, you just make it too easy." I didn't do that. God is the one that made it easy. I had another fellow. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me of that. He said, "You just raise yourself up to God's level." I said, no, I didn't do that. I said, "He lifted me up when I got born again, and He raised me up and made me to sit with Him in heavenly places." "Oh, well, I know this. You just pull God down to your own size and your own level." I said, "Well, no, I'm not guilty of that either. Because, you see, He came down here on my level of His own free will." Hallelujah. Dance around the room, sweetheart, because that just got hold of me right there. He came down here His own free will. I didn't drag Him down here. Well, you and I together did, because it's our sins that did it. Amen. And He said, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, listen to that. Or, beloved, the one who God loves, "If God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit." There it is again. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, amen, has been given to us. He is a gift. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known, listen to this now, we have known and believed the love that God had to us. Now, there's a major problem right there. We have known. That word translated known literally means intimate relationship. We have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We know Him. We accept Him as Lord and Savior, and we're born again, born of His Spirit, born of the Word of God, the seed of His Word. Hallelujah. We've known Him, but that it doesn't stop there. We've known and believed the love. Now, the moment we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we knew God. We became one with Him. That's literally what that means. We became one with Him. In the Spirit, we became one with Him, born of His Spirit. Hallelujah. But it says, known and believed the love. Now, a lot of people do not believe the love. They know the love. They really don't believe how much God truly loves them. That's why I want you healed. That's why I want you to prosper. That's why He's given Himself to us. Let's open our Bibles again today, if you would, to the third chapter of John's Gospel. And we're talking about the gift of God. And notice this, 16th verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Now notice it said, "For God so loved the world that He gave Jesus." So write this down. Jesus is the heavenly gift. And I receive the gift right now. Now then, Luke chapter 11. And we will look at, let's beginning in the 9th verse, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given." So write down the word given there in the 9th verse. "Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives." Well, Brother Copeland, everyone? Oh, yeah. Everyone. There is, though, the element of faith. Jesus said, everyone that asks believing, receive. And of course, we understand that. Well, if you would, let's just turn back over there again where we were, John 3. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him." So believing and asking, believing in Him. Amen? You made the connection there? Now, see, people have the idea that well, there's bound to be something I have to do. Oh, yeah, there is. You have to believe. Amen. Amen. And ask, okay? Okay. Let's go back over there again now to Luke chapter 11. "Ask and it'll be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds, to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Well, of course not. If you then, being evil, know how to give, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Well, Jesus is the heavenly gift. So is the Holy Spirit. Amen? Glory to God. Now, let me ask you something. This was some years ago. And I had the Lord ask me this. He said, Kenneth, do I heal you because you have faith? And I thought, well, and I'm sitting there, you know, running that through my thinking. He said, now, it takes faith, because without faith, we don't have any connection. But he said, I don't heal you because you have faith. He said, son, I heal you because I love you. Oh, glory to God. Oh, it just got all the way over me and all the way through me. And he said, that's the reason I want you to prosper, is because I love you. That's the reason I want you to be at peace, because I love you. That's the reason I want your families and your marriages to be healed and well, because I love you. He said, I want everything to be well with you. Amen. God has never been the author of sickness, disease, demons, fear, poverty, or anything else that's under the curse. Now, I said all of that to get this in place in our thinking. Actually, now hang on a minute and think about this from a spiritual standpoint. Salvation doesn't belong to the church. No. If it did, nobody had ever got it the first place. Salvation belongs to the world. Healing belongs to the world. Jesus is the gift to the world. The Holy Spirit gift belongs to the church. The gifts of the Spirit that bring about manifestations of healings and miracles and signs and wonders and the workings of the Holy Spirit. Of course, salvation is the working of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But now, Jesus is God's gift to the world. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. Now, let me back up here a second, because this is be the one that might trip you up a little bit, but again, think this through. Healing doesn't just belong to the church. Healing belongs to the world. Really? Oh, yeah. Amen. God will heal sinners. I mean, glory to God. I've seen it happen. And you think about it a little bit, nobody got born again before Jesus went to the cross. Amen. And another thing, healing and miracles in the church are the church's advertisement of Jesus to the world. Amen. We've had people, I've seen it happen. I'm thinking about, Lord, well, I'm, Well, I can tell it that way, I believe. We had, years ago, our ministry had put satellite dish in every Texas prison, penitentiary, jail throughout the state of Texas, and eventually grew to Arkansas and Oklahoma and Colorado, where we put satellite receivers in there, and they were bringing our broadcast down, and they were people in prisons were watching them. And this young man came to me, and he had tears in his eyes. And I've preached in a lot of prisons, seen a lot of wonderful things happen, preached on death row in different places and that kind of thing. Marvelous, wonderful thing. Had tears in his eyes. Brother Copeland, I really need you to forgive me. I said, for what? Well, he said, now they had the television set would be there in a day room or someplace where they could gather and but it had a metal mesh cage around it where you couldn't change the channel. And these guys are having to watch us preach all the time. That's the only TV they could get at certain times of the day. And he said, Brother Copeland, he said, I cussed you. He said, I threw my boots at you. He said, I called you every name I could think of. And he said, boy, I'm asking you to forgive me. And he began to cry, and he said, I'm so sorry. I said, man, you don't owe me any apology. Well, he said, oh, yeah. He said, and you, one time you said, oh, Jesus, help me tell this. He said, you were standing there, and you said, if as a point of contact, if you want to just touch the television screen or what, and I started praying, and I'm praying the prayer of faith for the sick. He said, Brother Cooper, he said, I just pulled my britches down. And he said, I just backed up to the television set. And he said, I said, heal this. And he did. And whoa, glory to God. He said he did. Oh, glory. And he said, right then, I said, oh, Jesus, come into my heart. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. God loves you, man. God loves you, little girl. And it is his greatest desire for you to receive the gift. Amen. Now, let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. And, the Lord said it for us to go to Isaiah first. And we'll look in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah 53, verse 4. Now listen to this. Surely he, Jesus, has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Now, in the Hebrew text, the word griefs and sorrows, he hath borne our sicknesses, diseases, weaknesses and pains, and our griefs and sorrows. Don't leave the griefs and sorrows out. Because when you think about it, grief and sorrow are the products of pain and sickness and disease and sin. Now, let's make sure of that. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. And we're looking here at God's heavenly gift. Now, notice what he said there. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Now, let's see how the Holy Spirit translates that and interprets that. Verse 16 of the 8th chapter of Matthew, when the evening was come, they brought unto Jesus many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. He didn't turn down anybody. He didn't turn down deliverance to anybody. The only reason anybody wouldn't get anything is because they didn't believe it. And over in the 6th chapter of the book of Mark, in his own hometown, they refused to believe it and actually decided they'd rather kill him than to believe what he said. And there it said he could do no mighty work. Didn't say he wouldn't, said he couldn't. There was no connection with him. Now, notice this. That it might be fulfilled. Say, fulfilled. What does fulfilled mean? That means that has been done. It has been fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. All right. Surely he hath borne our griefs and sorrows, that it might be fulfilled by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took, or himself bore our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. All right. Now then, we go, whose did it bear? Ours. Who's ours? Ours is whosoever. All right? He bore the sin of the world. He's God's heavenly gift to the world. Salvation is God's heavenly gift to the world. Healing, deliverance from sickness, disease, weakness, pain, grief, and sorrow. It's a gift. Wow. Now, let's go over to 1 Peter. I want you to notice the relationship of something here now. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Jesus, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, or on the cross, right? He bore our sicknesses, diseases, weakness and pains, our transgressions, our sins, in other words, by whose stripes we are healed. Now notice this. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now is were present tense? No. Is were future tense? Is he going to bear them? Well, I know he's going to heal me someday in his own good time. Well, that sounds humble and all of that, but it's just actually a lie from hell. By whose stripes ye were healed. Now, let me ask you something. When did he bear your sins? Well, Brother Copeland has said his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree. Yeah. Well, when did he bear your sickness, disease, weakness, and pains, griefs, and sorrows? On the same day, on the same cross, shed the same blood, Let me ask you another question. Does salvation belong to us? Well, yeah, Brother Copeland, you've already said that a dozen times. I know it, but I'm asking you now. Well, yes, Brother Copeland, salvation was God's gift to the world. Yes, amen. By whose stripes ye were healed. That's past tense. I mean, brother, that happened 2,000 years ago. Now, in the mind of God, now think with me, Lane. In the mind of God the Father, in the mind of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in the mind of the Holy Spirit, you and I and every other human being on earth was healed. In the mind of God, in the mind of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and in the mind of the Holy Spirit, every human being on earth, salvation belongs to them. Amen? You could actually say it like this, but I'm hesitant to say it like this because somebody will run off and say I said something else, but I didn't. In the mind of God, for as He's concerned, the power of the devil is totally, completely crushed and broken, and He's not holding sin and trespass against anybody on earth, nobody. And as far as He's concerned, everybody's saved, everybody's born again, everybody's filled with the Spirit, and everybody's healed. Everybody's prosperous because He's not left anybody yet. Oh, goody, goody, we're all going to heaven. No, they haven't all gone to heaven, and they're not all going to heaven. It's the one who receives the gift of righteousness. The ones that receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and activate that salvation, it belongs to anybody that'll receive it because it's a whosoever gift. But you have one thing to do. Jesus did all the hard part. We only have one thing. Receive it. Hallelujah. Now, there could have been a gift sitting on your table. Let me give you an illustration of this. I started to say you could have a gift sitting on your table and sit there and look at it all your life and never get any good out of whatever's in there because you didn't open the thing. Well, when you said, Jesus, come into my heart, take my life and do something with it. I mean, that's when you unopened the gift of salvation. Glory to God. And then when you said, Jesus, you said in Luke 11th chapter that you give the Holy Spirit to all that ask, and I'm asking. And you received, because He said so, you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you begin to speak in the heavenly gift of supernaturally speaking to God. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit He speaks mystery. All of that's a gift. All of it is a gift. There's a story about a woman that served the queen. This is a true story. Almost all of her life. Very young girl when she did. And it came time for her retirement, and the queen gave her a document that she had framed and had it put up in her little place. And she just didn't, after she left the employment of the queen, she just kept going down. She got sick, and she's living in a very damp old place down by the water, and was sick, and she didn't have enough to eat. They find that someone got a hold of a doctor that came by there and see if she had pneumonia. He said, this woman needs to be taken care of. And he walked over there and looked on the wall. That document was a strong pension to take care of her for the rest of her life on this earth because the queen loved her and wanted her taken care of. She couldn't read. She just knew it came from the queen, was special. She hung it on her wall, but she never unwrapped the gift until that doctor read it and saw what it was. Hallelujah. Let's read once again from the third chapter of the book of John, the 16th verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The world. Not just a group of people here and the whole world. Amen. Now notice this. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. I mean, it doesn't make any difference what kind of ugly act you did. Jesus has already been given as God's gift to you and me and to the whole world. And He came and He shed His blood and He went to hell and He suffered there and He suffered everybody's, He suffered for Adam's high treason. It goes all the way back to Adam. And without Jesus, you're condemned. You may be the sweetest thing that ever lived on the face of the earth, this side of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, sweetheart, it doesn't have anything to do with your daily acts, sin or not. It has to do with what you do with the heavenly gift. It's there. It's got a ribbon around it. It's there sitting on your table all this time. But have you unwrapped it, glory to God, and accepted Him as your Lord and your Savior? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, let's go over and read what we read earlier from Luke, the 11th chapter. Jesus said, "And I say unto you, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asks receives. He that seeketh finds. To him that knocks, it shall be opened." Excuse me. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Of course not. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil," or just natural men, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more," say it, "how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Oh, praise God. Isn't that good? Oh, hallelujah. So now listen, Jesus, the gift of God to the world. The Holy Spirit, the gift of God to the church. Hallelujah. But now where does that put healing? Healing belongs to the world. And by virtue of that, both sinners and Christians can receive healing from Jesus. Now, there are people that had the idea that you had to be born again to get healed. But if you just need to study a little bit, you can see that's not true. Now, we've already spent enough time on that. Let's get over on this. Healing, then, belongs to you and me. Let's go back where we were yesterday, and let's read this verse again in 1 Peter chapter 2. Talking about Jesus, who His own self bore our sins in His own body on the tree or on the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Were is past tense. Peter is leading us to look back to the cross Isaiah 53, surely hath borne our sicknesses, diseases, weakness, pains, griefs, and sorrows. And the chastisement of peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. But Peter draws our attention back to that. He bore our sins and diseases, weakness, sickness, disease. Whoa! He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. By whose stripes ye were healed. All right. So, healing belongs to you. Now, if you remember, faith calls things that be not as though they were. So let's take a look then at Romans chapter 4 and talking about what happens when faith comes into the picture. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that only which is of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who makes alive the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were. Now, how does that come into what we've just been studying here? We closed yesterday with this. Let me bring it back up to you again today. In the mind and in the heart of God, in the mind and in the heart of Jesus, in the mind of the Holy Spirit, everybody, everyone is healed. Because he laid all the sickness and all the disease, all of the curse on Jesus. In his mind, it's a done deal. Then why do I still have this pain? Now you come to the element of faith in the fact that he has already healed you and me. And it's time for us to unwrap the healing gift. Any gift, a present, a gift, something that has no strings attached to it, none, zero, no strings at all. It is lying there on your table, and it's addressed to you, and it's for you, and everything in it belongs to you. I don't care if it's $5 or $5 million. If it's in that package and it's got your name on it, it belongs to you, and you open it up, and freely, it's yours. You can do with it. I mean, there it is. It belongs to you is what I'm trying to say. Well, glory to God. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful package? Oh, yes. But how could anything that beautiful actually be mine? Oh, durst thou actually, intendest thou of me to open thine package? Come on, brother, get real. All right. I mean, you want to talk to the Lord, just talk to him. I mean, can you imagine what that sounds like to God in a Texas accent? Durst thou really, understandest thou that this is thine? Oh, come on, man. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not... I started to say I wasn't making fun. Yeah, I really am. Because I'm laughing at myself, my stupid self. You understand that? For doing things like becoming so spiritual in God's presence. And all the time, all that last 3 hours that you took telling him how you can't pay your bills and all, you didn't inform him of anything. You could have spent that whole time praying in the Spirit, and then call things that be not as though they were, and get somewhere in the realm of faith. So, calling those things which be not as though they were. Now, this would be calling things that be not as though they were. Well, according to that, my, glory to God. Whoa. What'd you say to me, Lord? What was it you said there? By whose stripes ye were healed? If I were, then I am. Well, then, why do I still have this thing in my body? That's the big question. Do you believe that? By His stripes ye were healed. Well, of course, Brother Coburn, it says it right there in the Bible. I mean, but do you believe that? Yeah. All right, think about this. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, thank you. I just want to worship you and thank you that I'm healed. I want to thank you, oh, God. I remember in the night waking up with that nasty pain in my body. And I couldn't rest. Oh, God, I remember what it was like. I remember what it was like to be in the bed for days and days at a time. Oh, God, I remember what it's like when I couldn't get up and help my family. Oh, God, I remember those things. But thank God, thank God, thank God I'm healed. I see it. I've been healed. I'm healed. I take it. I take my healing. It's mine. And I rejoice in it. Oh, thank God, it's so good to be well. It's so good to be healed. It's so good to be able to sleep all night. Then you may not have slept a night yet. But in the mind of Jesus, you have. And if you can come to that place where you meditate on this and meditate on this, there's going to come a moment when you just get up and walk out of that wheelchair. And there have people that have done it within just a few, that's past tense. Glory to God. If I'm healed, what business I got here? And just get up and walk off. You can do it right now. Amen. Now, let's go over to scriptures that show us and support to this scripture that we were healed. If we were healed, I am healed in the name of Jesus. Let's take a look here at John 10:10. Okay, yeah, the Lord just corrected me. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. In the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, there's just a treasure trove of revelation. In the 28th chapter, it shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, to whom is he speaking? He is speaking here to, well, people say, yeah, but see that Brother Copeland, that was just for the Jews. Well, now, wait a minute. Is he talking to the Jews here? What did it say? Well, verse 27, and Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, keep all the commandments which I command thee this day. This is written to Israel. Well, like I said, Brother Copeland, it's written to the Jews. Judah was only one of the 12 tribes. And later, that, well, for lack of a better word, is a nickname for Israel became the Jew. But that's, and I understand that. But what I want you to understand is Israel is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It's talking to the seed of Abraham. Amen? The seed of Abraham. Say it out loud. To the seed of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then you just come down the line, Joseph, so forth, Moses, and Daniel, and then John the Baptist, Jesus, John, James, right down to you and me. Before I read this any further, I'm going to read this from you from the Galatians, the 3rd chapter. And a lot of you have heard this. A lot of you haven't. Well, you're going to hear it again. Those that haven't, this is a seed. Those that have, it's water, the seed. The 3rd chapter of the book of Galatians, and we're going to come back in here as we go. Where do you want me to start that, Lord? Okay. Verse 5, he therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, 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 the same are the children of Abraham. Not just the tribe of Judah, not just the nation of Israel. It goes, this is the blessing of Abraham. Now, therefore, they which are faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now then, I want to point this out to you very meticulously because it is of vital importance to your and my thinking and to your and my faith. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now notice the blessing. These are articles of the blessing. It started with Adam in the Garden of Eden, and God blessed him and blessed his wife. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. The blessing of the Lord. Now, God didn't have to just say, okay. Now, you just stand real still there. Bless! No. The blessing is already there. The blessing had been released. In the mind of God. Now listen to me. In the mind of God, everybody, every child, every seed of Abraham was blessed. All you had to do was obey him and walk with him. I don't care what happened to you. The blessing was there. Look at the life of Joseph. Glory to God. I mean, he wound up in all different kinds of situations. But the Bible said the Lord was with him. What does he mean the Lord was with him? The blessing was on him and functioning, and the blessing. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow. He adds no painful toiling with it. Amen. Now, notice these blessings will come on you and overtake you. They're there all the time if you do what God tells you to do. Amen. But now what happens when you refuse to do? Now, you make a mistake. You repent and so forth. And all the provisions for repentance were there and everything. God's not figuring on them keeping that thing absolutely perfect. But that's the reason he introduced sacrifices to be given for the sin of the people, that they could repent and stay right in that blessing and walk in it. But if you refuse to do it, it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. So God didn't have to put it on them, that the curse was there. It came when Adam sinned, and the laws of sin and death were functioning in the earth. The blessing of the Lord was protection of it. You got off out here and wham! It was there waiting on you. That's where sickness and disease lives. It lives in disobedience. It lives out there in that area where the devil steals and kills and destroys. But what did Jesus say? I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look again in our, as Brother Hagin used to say, our golden text. Hallelujah. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now that is a picture of the fact that Jesus is a gift. God has given him to us. Glory to God. Now, receiving the gift, and we're of course, the gift of salvation and so forth, but we've come through the week now, and we're targeting very directly the fact that healing belongs to me. Healing belongs to you. Amen. Now then, let's go back here again to 1 Peter. And 2nd chapter. Who his own self, talking about Jesus, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. By whose stripes ye were healed. Were is past tense. So in the mind and heart of God, in the mind of Jesus, in the mind of the Holy Spirit, you are healed. Because 2,000 years ago, he bore in his own body our sins, by whose stripes you, me, we were healed. Now, what's the matter here? Heck, how come I've still got this pain in my body? Because of not by faith receiving the heavenly gift of healing. Amen. It belongs to you. It's as much yours as being born again. It is as much yours as the Holy Spirit belongs to you. It is as much yours, praise God. I'm telling you, it belongs to you. Now, there are really three general ideas, and there are different forms of the first two around and so forth, and of divine healing, receiving from God, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the healer. The curse is threefold: spiritual death, sickness, poverty. The redemption is threefold: life, healing and deliverance, and prosperity. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the healer. And Jesus is our high priest, our Melchizedek, that the Lord of the harvest. He is our prosperity and financial well-being. Hallelujah. Now then, when you know Jesus, all these things belong to you. But you have to unwrap the package. So let's go back over here to Deuteronomy chapter 28 again. Lord, one way or then the other way, let me have your, you know, there's their side, and then there's their side, and then there's God, and He's right. Amen. Which should I? Yeah, okay, thank you. Let's go back over here again to Galatians 3. Don't lose your place there in Deuteronomy 28, because we're coming back to that. Galatians chapter 3. And we'll read a little bit more of this today than we did yesterday. Galatians 3, verse 8, the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified or made righteous by the law in the sight of God. It is evident that the just shall live by faith. Now, you need to underline that in your Bible. Then you need to look up the other scriptures where it also says that. The just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, the curse for breaking the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Why did He do that? So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, or that we might receive everything that the Spirit of God promised Abraham. Glory to God. Verse 29. And if you be Christ's, or if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now let's go back over to this curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. This is in Deuteronomy 28, the blessing and the curse. And it shall come to pass, 15th verse, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, I want you to notice something. It didn't say, and God will put all these curses on you. No. The curse came when Adam sinned. And that curse is there. Now, God gave his promise so that you would have a way of, until Jesus had come and bear this whole thing for you and me, then this is the way to get out from under that curse. When you did miss it, and everybody missed it, nobody but Jesus kept it. Here's another thing. It had to be this strict. It had to be this hard. It had to be to the point that no natural human being could do it. And Jesus came as a man. He didn't keep all of this because he was a son of God. He kept it because he was a man, and he lived and walked by faith in the name of Jesus. He was all man and all God. And then he made himself obedient to death. And he took that curse and he went into hell and he provided all of us redemption from everything that came on mankind because of Adam's sin. Now, I want to point out some things to you. In the 22nd verse, now remember again, it didn't say God will put it. It said all this stuff will come on you. It's out there waiting on you. You just be disobedient to God. And then you refuse to repent. You refuse to repent and get back over here under. You're just out there where the devil is. He's gonna put it on you, brother, and tell you God did it. Now notice this. In verse 22, the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, with inflammation, with an extreme burning, with the sword, with blasting, mildew. Extreme burning is also a fiery heat caused by sicknesses and diseases like streptococcus and things like that. Brother, it says right there that God will smite you with it. Well, up here it said it'll come on you. Now, I'm going to take a moment here because we're going to read several scriptures here concerning this, and I want you to hear this. Dr. Robert Young, the author of Young's Analytical Concordance, considered to be one of the foremost Hebrew scholars of the world. And at the time that he wrote this, he was the foremost Hebrew and Greek scholar in the world. Now, he wrote a book which is now out of print called Hints to Bible Interpretation. Now, you can look in the outline of that book, you could find in the older Young's Concordances. But that's not the book itself. That's the outline of the book. And if you can get in that outline, but it's rather confusing. You know, you got somebody's outline, but you don't have what they said about it. And I've gone online to find Hints to Bible Interpretation, and they go back to that outline, and they say, well, it doesn't say that and all this. But I'm talking about the book that he wrote that is out of print. And you hear me say it by faith, I'm going to have me one of those books. Amen. Now, in his book, he said the word put or brought or words like smite that God is actively doing it are both from the same Hebrew word. They're used in the permissive sense and not in the causative sense. And he used as an example where, you know, that like in Isaiah 45, where there are good times, I send good times and I send bad times, you know. But actually, I send good times, but I permit bad times. Well, what's the difference? He permitted it. No, but he didn't cause it. His word is bond. His word. There are certain things that he's already said. If you keep doing this, the results are going to be that. And when you keep doing this, it goes back to comparing it to sowing seed. Whatever kind of seed you sow is whatever kind of harvest you have in your life. Amen? I mean, that's just seed time and harvest. That's just the way the thing works, brother. And when you keep doing that, then God has already said in His Word, He's already told every one of us that the wages of sin are death. Amen. So when you keep doing that, then spiritual death, physical death, all of these different things are the result of it. So there are certain things now. He said, you do that, and this is going to be the result. But he's not the word that said, one that said, okay, I told you. Now, let me give you an illustration of that. It hurts me to tell it, but I'm going to do it because it's such an example of it. John was just a little old boy, and I guess everybody's got a junk drawer in their kitchen. It's the place where you put all the twisties that came off your bread wrapper. No. Anyway. And there's a little penknife in there. And I came in there, and he'd gotten up in there and gotten that knife, and he managed to get it. You know, he's playing with it and trying. I said, no, baby, John. And I took the knife, and I opened it, and I showed him how sharp it was and everything. I said, now, son, I don't mind you playing with this knife, because knives are good. But I don't want you messing with this without Daddy there to help you with it. And okay, yeah, Daddy, that's good. And I put it back in the drawer and closed it. In a minute, I heard him scream. I went back in there, and he almost got that thing open, and he somehow or another got it closed back on his thumb, and he's trying to get his thumb out of there, and man, he cut down into that thumb, blood just squirting everywhere. Well, I grabbed him and caught that thumb and grabbed off some paper towels there and wrapped it around that thumb and started praying in the Spirit in the name of Jesus. And I didn't get, I just got just a few words out of my mouth and his little head fell over on my shoulder sound asleep. Well, I just held his little thumb there and prayed and blessed the Lord and blessed the Lord and blessed the Lord and took the thing off and then dressed his thumb. And it was amazing. I mean, he cut that way down in there. And it was amazing how fast that healed up. Well, now, do you think I passed up a real excellent opportunity to talk to that young man? No. I said, John, now, son, that wasn't any fun, was it? No. I said, did that hurt? Yeah, it did, Daddy. I said, son, Daddy told you not to do that. And the reason I told you not to do it is because I love you. And it wasn't because I don't want you playing with knives and to learn about knives and so forth. I do, because they're good. There's no such thing as a bad gun. There's no such thing as a bad knife. There's just stupid things and stupid people and bad decisions. And I said, you know, if you obey your parents, and I gave him the scripture and so forth. It's the same scripture we used right before he got a spanking from now then, you know. You obey your mom and daddy, you live long on the earth, first promise. Anyway, and so, oh, yeah, Daddy. Well, see, I didn't take that knife and say, boy, let me show you something. No, I'll just show you right there what happens if you play with knives. No, that's child abuse, brother. A man that does that ought to be sent to prison. Well, a God that would do that ought to be sent to prison too. The only God that does that is the devil. Amen. Now, what I want you to see here in this 22nd verse, these things that are listed, these diseases and so forth, and you can look up different translations or go back and get those words translated in these ways. And it talks about the heaven over your head's brass and the earth under you, iron, and the Lord will make the rainy land powder and so forth. So drought and all that's under the curse. But we're talking now about sickness and disease. Let's go to the 27th verse. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, or the Lord will allow you to be smitten with the botch of Egypt, with the emerods, with the scab, with the itch whereof cannot be healed. And you shall be smitten with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. 29th verse, and you'll grope at noonday and as the blind gropeth in darkness, and you'll not prosper in your ways, and you'll only be oppressed. I want you to underline that, oppressed. God doesn't oppress people. This is the devil that oppresses people. Now, I want you to get a hold of that. Mark it, run, put arrows pointing to it, whatever you have to do. Oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. And the 35th verse, and the Lord will smite you. No. And you will be smitten in the knees and in the legs with sore botch that can't be healed from the sole of your foot and to the top of your head. Now, let's take a shortcut here. Well, actually, let's go ahead and read some more. Okay, let's read verse 38. You will carry much seed out into the field and gather in little, and locusts shall consume it. You hear poverty and all of this. You'll plant vineyards and dress them, and not drink of the wine, and so forth and so on. You'll beget sons and daughters, but you'll not enjoy them, for they'll go into captivity. You can stand on this and get all of your children delivered from drugs. You can get the whole family delivered from it, because it's under the curse, and Jesus bore it. Now, let's go over to the... Well, no, the Lord won't let me get out of there yet. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. He will lend to you, and you will not lend to him, and he'll be the head, and you will be the tail. So there's the curse of debt. If you study, you go to the book of Proverbs and so forth, and it says the borrower is servant of the lender. Now, let's look at the 61st verse. Also, every sickness, say every sickness, and every plague, which is not written in this book of the law, this is the curse of the law, them shall come upon you until you be destroyed. But now, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's you and me and all the rest of us. Glory to God. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Healing belongs to you, my dear brother, my dear sister. Take it right now. Say it. Why, this thing's under the curse. I've been redeemed from the curse. So I am redeemed from this thing, whatever it is that's bothering you. I've been redeemed from this thing. Glory to God, I've been redeemed from that. So in the name of Jesus, I don't have that. I don't have fever. Glory to God, I've been delivered from fever. What do you have, my brother and sister? Oh, I have healing. Oh, I have deliverance. Because by His stripes, I was healed. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise. Say it, if I was, I am healed and delivered and blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get right back into where we were yesterday. And that would be right here in the third chapter of the book of Galatians. And Christ, verse 13, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree or a cross, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Glory to God. Now, if we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, let's go back to the book of the law where the curse is written. And we've spent some time with this. I will remind you of this, that in Robert Young's book, The Hints to Bible Interpretation, of which is out of print, and I've got my faith out there, glory to God, I will have that book in the name of Jesus. I receive it by faith. Dr. Young said, the words put and brought are both from the same Hebrew word used in the permissive sense and not in the causative sense. And we see here under the curse, verse 22, the Lord shall smite you with a consumption, with fever, inflammation, extreme burning, the sword, blasting, mildew, and so forth and so on. It says the Lord will smite you. Well, no, that's that same verb. But the Lord has to permit it because he's already told you what is going to happen. In this case, the penalty for breaking the law, especially not coming back into repentance. Now, that's serious business. The blessing of Abraham, amen. Well, it says, if you'll hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, all these blessings come on you and overtake you if you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord. Over here it says, if you don't, it'll come to pass. If you don't hearken to the voice of the Lord, these curses will come on you and overtake you. So now it's very obvious that God said, if you do what I tell you to do, the blessing is there and you walk in it. If you don't, the curse is there and it's going to come on you. Well, Jesus was made a curse for us so that we have authority now in the name of Jesus over that curse. And we can stand on the fact that we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed from consumption. We've been redeemed from fever. We've been redeemed from inflammation. We've been redeemed from mildew and drought and all of these things that are under the curse. Now, we'll just take us a shortcut here. Verse 61, and every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon you. Or them, that... Every sickness, every plague, which is not written in this book of the law, will come on you and overtake you. That is under the curse. Now then, we have been redeemed from all of these things. So now let's go over to the New Testament and let's read some scriptures here. First of all, we've quoted this, but I want you to put your eyes on it. 10th chapter. Yeah, okay. I need to go back over. Thank you, Lord. Amen. In verse 29 of the curse, you will grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. You will not prosper in your ways. You'll be only oppressed and spoiled forevermore. Only oppressed. Make a note of that. Oppression. God doesn't oppress people. Oppression is under the curse. Now then, let's look at John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, said Jesus, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The good shepherd don't make the sheep sick. The good shepherd doesn't burn the grass. No, it's the good shepherd that leads you beside still waters and green pastures. Hallelujah. Can you see it now? All right, let me give you something else. Let's go to Acts 10:38. This is concerning the ministry of Jesus. And you remember it, but let's put our eyes on it. How, verse 30, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, you got your shouting clothes on, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Ah, glory to God, hallelujah. Healing, everybody Jesus healed was oppressed by the devil. Sickness, disease, weakness, pain, poverty, all of that curse is satanic oppression. And Jesus came and bore that whole curse. Hallelujah. So that we can walk in the light of His power in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. Man, I done preach me happy. Now, I want you to look over here in the book of Luke, in the 13th chapter of Luke. Now, remember we said, and if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the power, according to the promise. Now then, verse 11, there was a woman had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. Now, think about this. When Jesus saw her, he called her to and said, woman, thou art loosed of thine infirmity. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, remember, she had this spirit of infirmity, a spirit of infirmity, okay? Bowed over. This thing had her crippled for 18 years. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus healed on the Sabbath day and said to the people, 6 days which men ought to work, and then therefore come and be healed. Well, she'd been there 18 years. What'd he been doing? And not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered, you hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and leads him away to watering? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound? Satan put her in that. Satan is the spirit of infirmity. Satan did it. God didn't put that on her. It was a manifestation of the curse of the law. She hadn't been hearing the blessing of Abraham where she'd been delivered of this thing. All she'd been hearing was the curse. And it was a manifestation of the curse, the foolish hypocrite that got mad because the woman got healed. Ought not this daughter of Abraham be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Ought not this child of Abraham, whomever I'm speaking to right now, you ought to be loosed today. You ought to be loosed from poverty. You ought to be loosed from death. You ought to be loosed from sickness. You ought to be loosed from disease and pain right now. Get up out of that chair and run across the room right and tell me about it. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. Say it. Jesus is my Lord. I ought to be healed today. Hallelujah. Hey, you know what? That's not all. Let's take us a look here at Psalm 91. If you shouting, yeah, I know you're shouting now. But sit back down and let me show you something else. The 91st Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say, the Lord is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him I'll trust. Surely He'll deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He'll cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You'll not be afraid of terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it'll not come nigh thee. Only with your eyes shall ye behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. For he'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. They'll bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You'll tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, the dragon, the trampled underfoot. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he's known my name. He'll call on me, and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Long life! Woo-hoo! Glory to God! Now then, whoa, my God, glory be to God. Let's look at Isaiah 35, 35th chapter of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah prophesied this. This is another one of those situations now where Isaiah said, by his stripes you are healed. On the other side of the cross, Peter said, by his stripes ye were healed. All right, Isaiah 35, and let's look in the third verse. Strengthen ye the weak hand. Confirm the feeble knees, or make firm the feeble knees. Remember that you'll be smitten in the knees? Well, look at this. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He'll come and save you. And the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the lame man shall leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Glory to God. It's, woo, glory to God. What's happened? Jesus has come. Amen. Let's read it again. Strengthen you the weak hands and make firm your feeble knees, because your knees are redeemed. Glory to God. Say to them of fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God has come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He has come and has saved you, and the eyes of the blind are being opened, and the ears of the deaf are being unstopped, and the lame are leaping like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb is singing, for the wilderness and the waters break out, streams in the desert, and the parched ground is becoming a pool, the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation. Glory to God. We are redeemed from the curse. Hallelujah. Long life. Amen. Now then, glory to God. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Let's go right to the start, all right? In the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Verse 3. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Now, the New Living Testament translates that in my opinion, a better translation of it. He is only flesh. Now, you go then, when you get over in the New Testament, the new birth, the new creature, the new creation in Christ Jesus, being made the righteousness of God. You and I are no longer only flesh. We are now born again spirits, children of God, hallelujah. Been redeemed from the curse and been redeemed from the curse of short life. Now then, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, in the Well, let's go over here to the 90th Psalm. We were there in the 91st Psalm a moment ago. Let's go to the 90th Psalm. With long life, you remember now in the 91st Psalm? Now, what does that mean? When God says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. What does that mean? Well, what's long life to you? Well, Brother Copeland, you know, I know he's promised us 70 or 80 years, and, you know, that's a pretty long time, but you know, 70, 80, 90 years, that's long life. Well, what did God say was long life? 120 years. That's what he said is long life. I thought he gave us 70 or 80. So did a lot of other people. So did I for a long time. Let's go take a look at that. In the 90th Psalm, look at verse 7. We are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in your wrath. We spend our years as a tale that's told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. Does that sound like a blessing to you? 70, does it sound like they're praising God because they've been given 70 or 80 years? No. This was the part of the curse, sweetheart. You notice they're out in the desert. You notice they're bringing up the anger. You notice they're bringing up the wrath and all of that. What happened to them out there in that desert? Do you remember? Well, check it out. It was declared on them because of their disobedience, because of their absolute refusal to do what God had said. Finally, it came down to it. The Lord said, they kept saying it. They kept saying it. We're going to die in the desert. We're going to die in the desert. We're going to die. Oh, we're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to. He brought us out here to kill us. How blasphemous can you get? He brought us out there to get them out from under the slavery and the dogged life they were living. It came down where it finally said, because they'd been saying that over that and over that. Well, what's God going to do? Principle law says you have what you say, that your words are the seeds that bring things to pass in your life. So what's going to happen? They kept saying, we're going to die in the desert. And finally God said, what's been coming in my ears has come on you. And their bones fell in the desert, anybody older than 20 years old. They fell dead in the desert, and that's what that's talking about. Anytime you come across those verses of Scripture, you read the verses on the wisdom of God. Oh, it's just wonderful. Length of days in one hand and wealth and riches in the other hand from the wisdom of God. Well, what does length of days mean? God has a very exact standard, because once he's spoken it, that is the standard. And he said, all right, 120. That's the lifespan of man. Now, people might live over 120, but that's what all of these long life scriptures are based on. 120 is not your limit in the New Testament, but neither is 80. You understand? The standard became 120 years. And science will tell you today that the physical body is built, they analyze it, the thing is built to last 120 years if you just take care of it. Well, how do I know how to take care of it? I don't know what to do. What if you get you one of these books that on the front of it, it says Holy Bible, because everything in it is so that you can live that 120 years. And when God said in there that certain things you don't need to be eating, you understand that? It's abomination to me, and you don't need to be eating that.
Well, that's under the law.
Now, let me ask you something. Has food changed all that much since then? The animals haven't. The same animals that he said was an abomination for you to eat was because they'll make you sick. And he's pointing you the way to what you think, what you eat, how you act, what you say, and all of these things are so that you can live 120 years in good health with long life and be satisfied. Hallelujah. Amen. We're out of time.
Jesus said, with faith, you could tell a mountain to move, and it would obey you. If obstacles stand in your way, it may be time to wake up your faith. The 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan for Faith That Can Move Mountains, the Kenneth Copeland Ministries Lifeline Series, is here to help you grow your faith. With 10 video lessons with Kenneth or Gloria, fresh new worship songs, and all new Faith Scriptures CD by Kenneth, scripture cards for you to confess daily, and easy-to-follow written lessons. Renew your mind with God's Word and become strong and confident in the faith you have. Move the mountains of debt, sickness, bondage, or fear out of your life. Take 10 days and develop the unbeatable spirit of faith that can move mountains. Activate the faith of God in you and move the mountains in your life. Request your free Faith Lifeline kit from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, your 10-day spiritual action plan for faith that can move mountains. Put your faith to work today. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Order your 10-day spiritual action plan for faith that can move mountains today. Offer good for 60 days.
Jesus was given to you a gift that God the Father sent to you for your life. And you know, we've learned that God calls you His own, but you're not His own until you call you His own. You call yourself His. You have to choose. You have to receive that gift that Jesus was given. You have to receive Him. But you can decide today to make Him the Lord of your life, and everything will change. If you want to ask Jesus into your heart today, just pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, thank you for giving Jesus as a sacrifice for my life, for my sin. Jesus, come into my heart. Take my life and do something with it. In Jesus' name, amen. It is that simple, and I promise you, He has taken your life now that you've given it to Him, and you are born again. That means all the things that He's given you have just now been birthed into you. Faith, grace, promise, hope, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. It's all yours and it's all inside of you. So remember this day. It's the day your life started all over again and the day everything becomes new. We have a free salvation package to send you. We have this book called He Did It All For You. You're going to find out all about all the things that have been deposited in you. One of the chapters is on the force of faith, and that's going to teach you more about the things Dad's been ministering to you and about believing God's Word. And you can learn about the power of God that's on the inside of you now. So just request your free salvation package today by going to kcm.org.
Every available voice. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has received the Lord's directive to spread the gospel from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around through every avenue possible. In 1973, KCM started publishing The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Since the beginning, the magazine has been a shareable resource with word-based articles by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and special guest teachers. Through the decades, the magazine has helped millions worldwide build their faith and encourage their daily walk with God. The Good News Gazette in the center of each magazine is where you'll find inspiring testimonies from partners all over the world.
You have a reassurance that what he did for one, he'll do for the other, and he's no respecter of persons, and he can do it for you too.
Today, almost 390,000 physical copies of the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine are distributed each month to 198 countries and territories on four continents in six languages. In addition, the magazine can be read online at kcm.org and shared with your family and friends from your computer or mobile device, all with a click, sending the word to more people in more places faster than before. Partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries and receive your free magazine. Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. May 25th through June 4th, join Pastors George and Terry Pearsons for Kenneth Copeland Ministries' first ever Israel tour. June 6th through 8th, join Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle at the Sacramento Victory Campaign at the Calvary Christian Center in Sacramento, California, USA. July 22nd through 27th, attend Southwest Believers Convention at the Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, USA. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.
Friday's always offering day on the broadcast, and I just want you to take that in your hand. If you don't have your money in your hand right now, just picture, you know, this is your time that you spent to earn that money or believe God for that money. This is your money. Take that money and all the things that God has given us, giving us Jesus, giving us healing, giving us His Word, giving us love, giving us all the things that He does for us on a day-to-day basis, even correction. My, how we love correction, because He's setting us straight. He's setting us on the right course. All those things, think about what He does for us. And I want you to take your offering, and I just want you to say, Lord Jesus, thank You. Thank You for being my Savior. Thank You for what You gave Your life to provide for me. Say, Father, thank You for sending me Jesus. I worship You. I thank You that You've made me Your child, that You haven't abandoned me, that You haven't left me out on my own. So, Father, I take my offering today and I offer it up to You as a worship and as a praise and as a thanksgiving for the things that You've poured out in my life and the difference that You make in my life. I need You and I love You and I worship You today. In Jesus' name. You know, I want to tell you that this is our 50th year of ministry. And for all those years, we thank you, partners, for standing by us, standing with us. We appreciate your prayers and your support. You know, together we are sharing the gospel all around the world, making a difference. This week, if you missed any of the broadcasts, just you can watch them for free on kcm.org or on our Roku channel. I want to encourage you, go to church this weekend. Take your worship there and worship corporately. The presence of God will fill the place. Until next time, this is Kelly Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. Now you can text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609.